You got the touch.
I'm Stan Bush, and I dare you to listen to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 43. Yes, I had a brain fart there. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and always joining the episode is...
DFG and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, don't worry about the brain fart. I had to correct JD over on New Soundwave last night. He had a brain fart on what episode the New Soundwave was on, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't he host them all?
Well, Brian hosts Radio Free Cybertron. JD hosts New Soundwave, and then they have Fanboy Versus, Superhero Time, what's the new one? Outside the Cage is their wrestling show. I don't know. They've got a whole bunch of them, but JD hosts New Soundwave, and the last 2 weeks he couldn't remember which episode. He said a wrong episode number, and... both times I've been on New Soundwave in the last couple of weeks, I had to correct him.
Wow.
But it's cool. You know, those guys are really cool. I'm, you know, really enjoying working with them on their shows, so it's very...
Yeah, I haven't listened to New Soundwave, but I do listen to...
New Soundwave is pretty much nerd news without... the nerd news crew. I mean, it's not like big news stories, but it's more topical. Like, it's not centrally focused on Transformers. It's focused on, like, video games and movie stuff and just general news or geek news item things.
Well, I might check it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. So how are you?
Tired. Obviously have a cold, as you can tell by the sniffling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I left my Benadryl in my car last night, so...
It's probably melted by now.
No, it should be fine. We got, torrential downpours the last few days, so...
Yeah.
I don't think I'll have to worry about it.
Yeah, they kind of hit here last night with the rain. Hell, I thought it was hail for a little while, but...
Wouldn't be surprised, though. Mm. I've seen hail in July. That's actually how I ended up with my car.
Yeah. So, I guess we can talk about some Transformers news here. Well, since it's the beginning of April and all this stuff, we can start with a news story. Apparently, TFW is reporting Shia LaBeouf, and yes, that's what I will be calling him for this entire show, is confused by Revenge of the Fallen. Speaking to Contact Music, Transformers live-action movie series star Shia LaBeouf admits that he was confused by Revenge of the Fallen and that he simply could not work out what was going on with certain Transformers and plot lines. However, Shia, who plays Sam Witwicky, does not lay the blame on the feet of anyone involved in the production in particular, instead saying that the weakness in the production came from the writer's strike and having to do a lot of work on the fly. When asked about the upcoming Transformers 3, Shia is completely positive and has faith in Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay, and that the third film will be the best it possibly can be, and that they will not miss the mark again. Well, Shia, if you would take your mouth off both their dicks and actually make your own fucking opinions about it instead of just, what, I don't fucking know.
So how much was he paid to say that?
Exactly.
Because that doesn't sound like it's actually a coherent thought.
You know, I've said this before on various other shows. As far as the Transformers 3 stuff, until I see a trailer, I don't care. But I've also said this, that I only really watch two networks anymore, which is HGTV and Disney Channel. And he is more funny in his Disney Channel show that he was on that started him than he is now in anything he's ever done since then.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty funny on that, but they keep trying to take that dynamic and move more serious roles, and it just doesn't work.
No. No, it doesn't. It just pisses me off that they just can't get a Transformers movie right. So did you see the new... Well, moving along, I guess, because, yeah, that's a rat hole that we'll probably get into too far. Did you see the Japanese Transformers animated intro-outros?
Yeah, and surprisingly, it was pretty cool, although, again, it's like a rehashed animated, so I could, again, care less.
Well...
The intro is pretty cool. I mean, I'm not going to deny that with, you know...
Yeah.
New clips, but it kind of gives away stuff that happens throughout the show.
Well, you know, I guess everybody who is a Japanime fan or just a fan of Japan in general absolutely loves this stuff. For me, if they're going to make new episodes, I hope there are dubs. English dubs.
That'll never happen.
If they're not going to make new episodes and it's just animated in Japanese, I don't care. One of the things I don't like about the intro is that they make it look like Ironhide and RC have actual roles in the show.
Other than an appearance with a quick speaking role?
Yeah. I like the images in the intro. As far as the theme song, it's Japan music. Who cares? I don't know.
Japan blah.
Yeah. Whatever. Let's see. What else do we have here?
We've got... I guess we'll jump to the interesting stuff. Name change for Wii edition of Wars for Cybertron.
Oh, God. Kill me now.
Joystick is reporting that the recently seen Cybertron Adventures for the Nintendo Wii is actually Transformers War for Cybertron, but with a more family-friendly name.
You know, I first posted on Twitter about this when I saw the TFW story. I'm like, oh, great, Nintendo, fucking things up like usual. And everybody's saying, oh, wait, no, this is Activision, so... Again, so far in this episode of ACTF, we have Shia LaBeouf sucking on dick, and now we have Activision sucking on Nintendo's joystick.
No, what the hell? No, they have Activision sucking on Nintendo's Wii.
Wii. There you go.
I don't see what it matters if it's called Cybertron or Cybertron Adventures. I think they should have just left it with the non-confusing name so people actually knew what they were buying.
Well, honestly, who the fuck is going to buy this for Wii? I mean, really, any real gamer is going to buy it for PC or for PS3 or Xbox 360. So,
yeah,
really, what does it matter?
I'm buying it for my PC.
Yeah.
Because I'm personally not going to sit there and network and play this game on my Nintendo Wii.
No.
Just doesn't, I don't know. I just don't see the Wii that way, and I really can't stand... I could buy the game $30 cheaper for my PC than it would cost me to buy it on the Wii.
Yep.
So I would just as soon buy it that way. That, and I can, you know, keep my save game locked away, so in case I to wipe it out for some reason, I can go back and put it on later.
Yeah. And along with the whole War for Cybertron stuff, Transformers War for Cybertron pre-order exclusives. Activision sent us a line letting us know that there will be exclusive characters available for via pre-order at different outlets for Transformers War for Cybertron's online multiplayer mode. Starting today, Transformers fans can pre-order the game on Amazon.com to receive an exclusive code used to unlock Demolishor. Additionally, fans can pre-order the game at GameStop to receive an exclusive code used to unlock Shockwave. Note the G1 Shockwave and Armada Demolisher references in these characters. Nice attention to detail. Make sure to pre-order your copy today. So, I'm assuming that these unlockable characters are only for the online multiplayer?
I would guess so, because I think you'd have to be online to use them.
That kind of sucks.
I mean, I hope that's not the case, but if it is, that's pretty fucking lame.
I mean, you know, I've seen the Shockwave model. I've got the picture somewhere here on my computer, and it looks awesome. But, yeah, if you can't use it in just the regular story part of the game, why would you? Because the whole point of War for Cybertron, well, part of the gameplay is that it's whether you have two other friends and yourself or whether it's just yourself and two AI players, it's always a three-player co-op, like in the regular, like, single-player mode.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you? I don't see what the point of an exclusive is if you're not going to be able to use it in the entire game and not just on the online multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, I would think there'd be another way to unlock some of these characters without pre-ordering, just because they're technically already embedded in the game. They just have to be, you know, magically released from their shells.
Oh, boy.
But, I don't know. I think doing exclusive content to try and sucker people into buying it from different locations and then having it as a only exclusive to this, only exclusive to that. I mean, the shit's already built into the game. Just give it to us.
Yeah.
You know, don't fucking toy with us. It's not fucking 1999.
Well, see, that's the whole point, though. They want you to buy the same game at different, you know, buy, like the whole thing with the movie exclusive things, and that's not just for Transformers. That's for any movie that's been released in the last 3 or 4 years. Dark Knight had a whole bunch of exclusives at different stores. Iron Man had a whole bunch of exclusives at different stores. Transformers, the first film, and now Revenge of the Fallen had a whole bunch of exclusives at different stores. And the whole point is for them to make the most amount of money as possible, leaving you with, you know, three copies, four copies of the same fucking thing. With
now,
maybe
see,
one or... Huh?
I says, me personally, I won't pre-order, and I won't... I'm going to buy it wherever it's cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can call that a cop-out if you want. I don't really care. I just... I'm not going to spend, like, big-ass dollars on, you know, entertainment shit that I could get somewhere cheap. I mean, it's, I'll get the one that has the, you know, that's the cheapest price and comes with a special fee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of some sort, some kind of exclusive, but I'm not going to go out of my way to get all of these exclusives.
Yeah, no. When it comes to DVD exclusives, I'm finding now that, like, I don't care about transforming DVD cases. I don't care about Iron Man masks. I don't know what other exclusives Dark Knight had. And I know I'm kind of veering off the video game exclusive thing, but it's the same thing, you know. Really, honestly, what I want in an exclusive is maybe a Steelbook packaging, which FYE usually has those. That's the exclusive that they usually get. So, I mean, I bought my Iron Man from them. You know, as far as Transformers and all that stuff, I got it where I could find it.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow. And, you know, and in any event, you know, eventually somebody, whether it's Mike Dodd or whoever from This Week in Geek or from what other geek website or that does cover games, they're going to give away an unlock code at some point. You know?
They have to.
I mean, I don't know. So, continuing with War for Cybertron, GameSpot presents us the multiplayer details of Transformers War for Cybertron, which features 4 character classes, Soldier, Scout, Scientist, and Leader. Also, we are treated with a brief look at the character customization screen, showing off the Cybertronian weapon systems, which the player must equip to top it all off, a sneak peek of the character's special abilities, and repaints. Now, I'm not sure. Yeah, the... Now, T-Formers.com, they had a couple of videos from GameSpot themselves that showed the actual online multiplayer, how that was going to work or whatever. They had some interview with Matt Teager about it, and he had basically said that, you know, they've been kind of tight-lipped on the multiplayer, obviously, until the game gets released. I don't know if it was the TFW video here or if it was the T-Formers video, but I saw at the end of it, the apparent release date for Transformers War for Cybertron is June 22nd, 2010. So, right before BotCon, pretty much.
Figures.
Well, that's, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, it's a good time as any to release it. You got the hype already built up.
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully the price isn't too bad when it does get released.
Yeah.
Because
hopefully the game lives up to everything that everyone, including myself, expecting it to be. Hopefully it's not a downer. Because I guarantee you... Well, I guarantee you if this game gets... doesn't, you know, live up to the hype, it's going to be universally banned and it'll be in bargain bins in the next week.
I mean, that would be good for people like me that are cheap, but I mean, I personally hope it succeeds. That way we get another long line of good games, kind of in the vein of, like, Batman having Arkham Asylum.
Yep. Well, apparently we've found out who is voicing Bumblebee in War for... We have all this War for Cybertron stuff to catch up on. Johnny Young Bosch, best known for portraying Adam Park in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, posted on his Twitter to tell the world that he'll be voicing Bumblebee on Transformers War for Cybertron. Mr. Bosch said, "So one of those games I couldn't talk about voicing is finally up on IMDb, Bumblebee in Transformers War for Cybertron." So what do you think, WFC fans? I guess it's okay. I don't really know because I haven't really heard the actual voice. Like the trailers don't really show.
No.
I mean they show Bumblebee off, but they don't really like focus on him talking. Or I haven't seen that. Maybe I missed it. I don't know.
We really won't know what difference that makes anyway until release.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you want to hit the other Transformers 3 news? the parents?
We'll do that in a second. The next bit of War for Cybertron, the official website update with character bios and Nintendo Wii NDS issue. Info. Yes. It says no online play for the Wii. So... why the fuck would you buy it for the Wii if you can't even play it online?
Well, that's fucking, you know, and that's the thing, though. Like I said before, What true gamer is really going to buy this for the Nintendo fucking Wii?
So in other words, they're saying, fuck you to the Wii players and everybody else. You're golden. Which makes me all the more happy that I decided that when I do get it, it's going to be on the PC.
Yeah, I'm going to have to eventually just get a PS3 because I'm not putting any more money into my PC. It runs for what I need it to run now, and eventually, hopefully, I can get a new one, maybe by next year, but yeah, I'm not putting any more money into it.
Yeah, mine, I bought it with the intention that when my dad upgrades his PC, I get the hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
I bought some of the same base equipment so that it would work out that way. So I've already had a recent upgrade, but yeah, I probably won't put more money into my PC just to play it. I'll figure out another way around it.
Yeah. Julie White and Kevin Dunn reprised their roles for Transformers 3.
Surprise, surprise.
I do not need another fucking scene with her going all nuts and eating weed brownies. I honestly
could have done
don't.
Without her character.
Huh?
I says I could have done without her character. The dad I could deal with.
Yeah, Kevin Dunn's okay, but that bitch is just... Oh, God.
Well, she didn't really have that much of a purpose, whereas he did.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying he had a good purpose, but I mean, he had more of a purpose than she did.
Mm-hmm.
So I could deal with another scene with him.
Yeah.
I really wish they'd kill Skids Mudflap. Or have their circuitry fixed in this movie, because I don't like ghetto robots. And that's what I see them as. And it has nothing to do with them, you know, in theory, being black. I just can't stand that retarded, you know, slang talk.
Yeah.
I hear that on a daily fucking basis. I can't stand to hear that in a movie that, you know, I'm going to buy.
Yeah, you know, everybody made a big deal about the fact that Michael Bay just put these characters in to do whatever. And when I did see it, the first time I saw it in theaters, when I went to go see it in theaters, I thought it was alright. Sure, it was annoying as hell, but I didn't, like, freak out like everybody else in the fandom did.
Yeah, I didn't freak out either because I knew what to expect out of it, which was I didn't expect a lot. I didn't care, which was just good. But I didn't care for the characters either, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. I didn't care for them either. You know,
I don't like the movie just because of an overall basis. It has really nothing to do with those two. It just seemed kind of like a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever we get around to our commentaries of both movies, we'll expound more on that, because, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess the last thing I want to bring up is not really news, it's more of a toy review video. Pia had gotten his hands on a War for Cybertron Deluxe Optimus Prime toy, and it looks very well done. It looks, you know, there's probably slight iterations difference from the game model, but as far as an actual toy based on the game model, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of pumped about the figures, even though I don't really buy them. I might, like, sneak buy them.
Yeah.
So that my wife will never know. But I do like some of the ones that I'm seeing a lot better than some of the previous lines we've gotten since Classics.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much going to do it for the news. Do you have any discussion topics you want to bring up?
Not really. I would like to see more listener feedback in the form of, like, email or whatnot. Questions, comments, anything. Topic ideas or just things that you guys would like to hear about. I would even be willing to have, like, a... where you could send us, you know, real quick, probably 30-second to a minute clips of, you know, questions if you wanted to do them in audio form to have them placed in the episode, which I would edit it. I have no problem doing that. But, and then we could just do them kind of like real, I don't know, just a little more than what we would have for just reading somebody's email.
Yeah. I may talk to Brian Kilby of Radio Free Cybertron and ask him how difficult the call-ins were on the live show that they did last week. Because I think all he did was add people to the call-in Skype or something. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. Maybe we could do some sort of call-in thing or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be cool to have more user feedback anyway, just to add something extra into the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yes, I know the show comes like every other week or after like 3 weeks sometimes, but that's just kind of the way the news comes down sometimes.
Yep.
Especially right now, or at least until it gets closer to the movie, like next year, a buttload of news.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So.
I guess that'll do it for the most part for this episode. I do have a war story submission. I will, as soon as my nasal issues are done, finish that episode off and get that online. Pretty much launch that show. So if anybody would like to submit stuff for that, go for it. I'm already doing that. So,
Where can they submit the stuff?
What's that?
Where can they submit the stuff?
Well, they can send the fanfics via email to podcast@predaconempire.com. Be sure to leave permission as well. You can also post it in the forums, in the Nexus forums, predaconempire.com/Nexus. Go to the mechanic area, which is just fanfics, fan art, you know, just fan constructed things. Be sure to leave feedback in the forums or give us some kind of audio feedback or email feedback or something.
Yep.
Because I know we haven't had a lot of feedback, and the older feedback no longer applies because we've kind of taken the negativity out of the show.
Yeah.
In the form of headshots so that the show stays pure and fun. I mean, we still piss and moan a little bit about some of the news, but it's not really that big a deal.
Yeah, pretty much. So I guess that'll about do it.
All right, and stay tuned for words from Optimus Prime. For now, I am Steve/Megatron, signing off.
Cliffjumper, commence countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Peace.
this is Mike T.F. Joan Blanchard from the GeekCast Radio Network, and this week in Geek, today I have the awesome privilege to interview Brian Kilby of Radio Free Cybertron, the guy who started podcasting before podcasting was podcasting. Hello, sir.
Hello. I don't know how awesome a privilege it is, but thank you for having me on.
It's just one of those things where every interview I've done so far, I have that line in there somehow.
Oh, I know. I
like when I interviewed Larry Kenney, I said something like, we have the super awesome privilege to interview, you know, Larry Kenney, voice of Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats. And Larry was like, wow, I'm going to have to add that to my name. Super awesome Larry Kenney. So basically the gist of this little interview chat thing here is to get to know the real Brian Kilby behind the scenes.
Okay.
When I first heard of mention of Radio Free Cybertron was when I was still listening to Transformers Week in Review, TF Wire, which is now no longer a podcast anymore. They ended on their 200th episode. And I had just gotten I had just gotten into podcasting, and I had just gotten back into Transformers and everything else in 2007, 2008. So what started this whole thing for you as far as wanting to do a Transformers radio show?
Well, when I was 18 years old, I actually got a job in radio. It's where I started out. And I was sitting around obsessing over Transformers because I tend to obsess over things. And I wanted to sort of do something different. I had a small, unpopular website, and I just thought, well, you know, I write all this fan fiction, I do all this stuff, I'm a very active fan, what can I do that's different? Well, there are no internet radio shows, you know, I have the technology, I have the equipment, I could totally do one, why don't I go ahead and just try that? And, well, you know, a couple months later, boom, we had a Transformers internet radio show, and it was, you know, I didn't really think anything of it. I knew that it was kind of different. I knew that there really wasn't anything like that out there. But, you know, several years later, it's like everybody's doing it. And it's like the big thing now. And it's pretty cool. I love the technology because anyone can do it. It's like it gives everyone a production room and an audience. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. When I first started listening to podcasts, I was going on iTunes looking for stuff that maybe, all right, like the biggest thing I can think of is the creators of the DC Animated Universe, Bruce Timm and all them. I was going on iTunes looking for quote unquote podcasts that they were in, and I had found World's Finest Podcast, and I'm like, oh, that must be something that they're talking on. No, it's just two regular guys reviewing the entire DC Animated Universe, and that's one of the, you know, like you said, it's one of the beautiful things about it is, you know, anybody can do it. When you started way back in 1999, what were you using for equipment? Because we were just entering the technological age back then.
Depended when I was doing it. Sometimes I would record stuff at work, like on, we had like a really nice Sennheiser microphone and like a really high-end mixing board. But at home, I would just use a standard dynamic microphone that I bought at Walmart, plugged it straight into my Audigy sound card, and that was basically it. I used Real Encoder to encode it to Real Media. Sometimes I'd do MP3, but just basically off-the-shelf stuff. And now, while I'm doing it with a little more off-the-shelf stuff, it's a little more advanced. It's still off-the-shelf stuff. I mean, it was like a $20 Walmart microphone and a computer. That was really it.
Yeah, yeah. What got you started in your Transformers fandom? Like, was it a toy? Was it a cartoon? Where did you start in your fandom of Transformers?
It was my junior year of high school, 1996. I had to do a presentation on a decade post-World War II, and of course I chose the 1980s. And featured a lot of things, G.I. Joe, the A-Team, Ronald Reagan, but the most popular topic that I picked was the Transformers, and of course I brought my whole collection, which at the time was like 24 pieces, and it got me to thinking, man, I really love this stuff. After I put on my G.I. Joes back into my old VHS tapes, I said, well, I think I'll keep these Transformers out. A couple years later, I got internet access at college, and I started reading about this place called Alt Toys Transformers, which is an old Usenet group, still around, but hardly anyone uses it. That was this. That was basically the internet fandom from like 93 to like 99. So I became active there, and the rest was history.
Uh-huh. What was the first ever Transformers toy you ever owned?
It was Cosmos. I still have it.
G1 Cosmos?
G1 Cosmos. Of course, his head is now completely yellow. The paint's worn away. He's completely rusted. I don't remember having it in a bathtub. All the rust leads me to believe that I played with it quite extensively in the tub. But Cosmos was my first toy. The first one that I had, and he was also the first one that I didn't break. My next four or five toys broke. The original G1 toys were kind of crap.
Yeah. Poor Cosmos. He has nothing but cosmic rust all over him.
Yeah, basically. He has the cosmic rust, which I wrote in a fanfic back in the 90s. I equated to the AIDS.
Oh, wow. what is your most prized Transformers toy? Like, what is the one toy? If somebody told you you could only take one toy with you to a desert island and that was it, which one would you take?
You know, it's on the surface, it's a hard question, but I'm not really a complex guy. It would be G1 Metroplex. It's not the best toy in the world. I just like it. He's actually sitting on my mantle beside my wedding picture.
How do you feel about, I don't know what your wedding was like, but how do you feel about themed weddings? Like, do you know anybody that has ever done, like, a Transformers wedding?
Let's see here. Not Transformers, necessarily. I know people that have, like, Doctor Who-themed weddings, pirate-themed weddings, but, yeah, I would have never gotten away with a Transformers-themed wedding, though I did have a lot of internet Transformers fans at my wedding.
Yeah. Let's see. What is your favorite cartoon out of the Transformers?
The favorite series?
Yeah.
My sentimental favorite is G1 Season 3, which was the post-movie episodes, which were basically the only good G1 episodes. Not that they were that great, but they were a little more complex and delved a little deeper into, you know, what it is to be a Transformer and what it is to be human. But realistically, it has to be Transformers Animated, which is the best Transformers fiction ever.
Mm-hmm. What is your collection up to now, as far as how many Transformers toys you have?
It peaked at around 1,000, and I have, over the last, like, 5 or 6 years, started purging. I'm probably down now to 500. I actually had a box at BotCon where I was literally giving them away on the floor. I actually had security ask me to leave because I didn't have a booth. I'm giving this stuff away! But, you know, they didn't care. A friend of mine actually pulled me off into his table and was like, here, you know, you can give these to me. I'm like, okay.
How many times have you been to BotCon, and what is your most memorable one that you've been to?
Let's see here, 5 or 6 times. It was Dallas, Texas, which would have been BotCon 05, and it's just because it was wild. I mean, I go to hang out with my friends. I also go to see the Transformers stuff, but I go to be with friends, and Dallas is the wildest city that I've personally been to. Durham was probably my least favorite, and ironically, the shortest drive, it's only an hour and a half away, but it was kind of crap.
What year was that?
01.
Oh. Oh, boy. This is something that boggles my mind. I mean, I've been on RFC the last couple weeks. How do you juggle 6 to 8 to 10 people in a record?
Most of us have known each other for a long time and worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've since bringing RFC back, we've had basically the same crew, you know, week to week to week. And everyone likes each other, and most importantly, everyone respects each other. So, you know, if someone's talking, typically, if someone else doesn't talk over them, but if, you know, two people start talking, one person will almost always yield to the other. It's really not that hard, unless you're XV. Bringing Ender on has been, in some ways, a challenge. Ender's our newest cast member. Ender is very opinionated, but he adds an edge to the show that is just so awesome. he loves to talk, but he's great at it. So, and Ender's sort of learned to sort of pull back. So I think we have a really well-balanced group, and everyone really likes and respects each other. I think that's what makes it easy for me.
If Ender had the time, I swear, he should start his own comedy podcast, because...
I doesn't.
What'd you say?
Oh, I'd listen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow. Let's see, what else? How do you feel about fans that just don't get the new stuff? That just go into the whole rage of, oh, this isn't what it's supposed to be, or whatever?
Usually, it really depends. If you are actively a fan... and you completely disregard the new stuff, I think it's because the fans are lazy or they're ignorant. But if you're just one of the casual people who like the Transformers because you remember it from being a kid, that's fine. That's okay. I mean, you're not investing, like, serious energy into hating something. But if you collect Transformers, if you, you know, are really into it and you hate anything post-G1 Season 2, I really don't have much respect for you.
See, I love G1, and we're not going to get into the whole G2 thing. I'll save that for another day. But, you know, I've... For me, it's been like... like, once G1 ended, I was like, okay, that's it. It's gone. There's nothing to do. Move on. And I moved on to other cartoons and other pieces of the fandom. I kind of caught Beast Wars. I didn't really catch it when it was on, but I'm going back to it now. And, you know, of course, animated, but that whole era from, like, I think from 90 to 2001, 2004, maybe somewhere around there, I just wasn't into it. I just started collecting again back in 07, and I had seen the Armada cartoon and all that, and I was like, no, just no. But it's like, you know, some of these fans, I mean, I'll admit, I am a true G1 completionist as far as that goes, or at least I want to be as far as the toys go, although half of
them. Expensive now.
Yes, it's too expensive now, yes. But, you know, I buy toys that I like. I don't buy toys that I absolutely have to have to complete a collection. And it's just one of those things where some of these fans on these sites and message boards now and forums, it's like, oh my god. Like, the, what was it? The people with the RC toy hate on the wings. The wings, you know, Evangelist pointed it out perfectly in his review of RC. The wings are nothing more than an oversized version of Bumblebee's boosters from Animated. That's all they
basically
are.
Basically, yeah.
It's an accessory, and I heard, I've never actually witnessed any of this, but I heard that fans were going crazy over these things because they were there. And I'm thinking, you can take them off, and it doesn't really affect the alt mode, and it's like, wow. And the whole thing about the hating on Skids and Mudflap in the movie, I went in with all that knowledge of all that, you know, all that fan hate, and I really didn't care either way. I laughed at some of the stuff they did, but I didn't really care.
I'm ambivalent towards Skids and Mudflap, honestly. I don't care. I think they're kind of weak. They're definitely weak as characters, and there may be a racial tinge to, I mean, I guess maybe to put it mildly, to their characterization, but I don't hate them. I kind of hate the movie, but it's not directly due to them.
No, it's directly due to my favorite quote from Michael Wilson, and I use this all the time, and I know it puts me in that category of fans hating anything new, but Michael Bay just continually keeps raping my childhood.
Yeah, in a way, but, you know, it's everything's new, and it's not, you know, this is no more G1 than Armada is G1, so.
True. What else do you collect besides Transformers, anything?
G.I. Joe, but my collection is not really impressive. Video games, but again, my collection is not really impressive. I used to have a massive baseball card collection, but I gave it up. Comic books, and that's about it. Pounds right now. I've gained quite a bit of weight since I don't work out daily like I used to.
Yeah, I need to start doing that.
What is RFC Throwback? Is that like old episodes that you guys recorded 10 years ago or something? Or
Yeah, it's that, and it's imaginary episodes that never happened. Basically, Chris McFeely or someone suggested about 10 years ago, back in 2002, that we do a show that took place in 1992, and of course I wasn't doing the show then. Mm-hmm. So we kind of dreamed up an episode, and we did it. So, you know, once bringing RFC back, you know, there are things that we wanted to cover. I had a whole show prepped to post for 2005, for when January 1st, 2005 rolled around to celebrate the movie, you know, Victor Crowley, it is the year 2005.
Right.
And, you know, I never posted the show, and I would love to go back and actually sort of fill in the gap. So after we did our 10th anniversary show, we went back and did a 5th anniversary show that never happened. So things like that, but it's mostly shows from back in the day, which, you know, listening to them now, they're not really that great, and but, you know, it you got to consider there's really nothing else like that at the time. So,
you know, that's the one thing about this whole podcasting thing that kind of peeves me off when I get quote unquote critical criticism or positive criticism or whatever the hell you want to call it, but one of the things that peeves me off is people call in and say, or people email and say, yeah, the levels weren't all that great. No, we don't get paid to do this. If we did, we could. If I got paid to podcast, I couldn't use half the audio that I use on the quote-unquote term free usage whatever. You know, second of all, I had just started out, didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, I'm sure the same thing with you.
Oh, yeah. And there are days now where my levels aren't that great. I'm looking at my mixer right now where I'm used to operating with, like, an actual analog VU meter. I have two blinking lights. Green is good. Red is too hot. And, you know. So sometimes my levels are off, and, you know, that's just part of the game. I understand people being critical. I used to have people, you know, if I missed a week, people would call in and bless me out. People would or email me. So where's the show? Why aren't you doing the show? It's like, how much are you paying for this? But, you know, it's that's part of actually having fans, people who are invested in what you do. People enjoy your work, and they feel like they own it. And in a way, they do. Because, I mean, you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for people out there to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you guys brought RFC back. You've been doing it, what, I don't know, what, six months, a year, 2 years? How long have you been?
Since we brought it back, it's been about 10 months.
Yeah, about a year. And it's just one of those shows that whether I've been on it the last couple of weeks, but whether I'm on it or not, you know, I've started listening to it, and it's just one of those shows where I can listen to it because you have that dynamic group of people that each of them are so different in their opinions, and they don't pander to their listeners. That's one thing you guys do that a lot of other, and it's one thing that I try to do as well. There was a Transformers podcast that one of the hosts constantly said, oh, the three listeners that we have, and nobody listens to this show. That's not how you get listenership. I know the guy was joking at the time, but after one episode saying that, that's enough. You know, you don't pander to your listenership, or people aren't going to listen to you.
Yeah, I mean, you want to put on the best, most professional, if that's what you're going for, part that you can. For me, I look at it like I look at my professional corporate career. I want to dress and act like a level or two above where I am so that someday I can be there. Mm-hmm. You know? So if I only have, like when we brought the show back, actually the first show we had quite a few listeners because, hey, people were interested. But the listenership dropped off. But, you know, I kept going and plugging along, and now our listenership is pretty good. I hope it, you know, quadruples over the next year. But, you know, it's because, you know, I don't necessarily have 15,000 people listening a week. I wish I did. You know, I it's not like I, oh, well, I wish people would listen to the show. No, I put on the best show that I can and hope that people are attracted by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and, you know, since I've been, you know, paying attention to RFC and RFC and New Soundwave are pretty much the two that I pay attention to. Now you guys have a whole bunch of other ones as well, right? Superhero Time and Fanboy Versus, and
we have a new one, Outside the Cage, which is like an MMA thing. I'm only tangentially involved there. I'm on it mostly to add color. I quit watching mixed martial arts a couple years ago. I'm basically on it because I'm the dude who's recording it and editing it, but. Mm-hmm. But XV handles Superhero Time, which is a Sentai and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers show. We have Fanboy Versus, which is a comic book show. I guess I own the network, whatever. I mean, I pay for it and host it and everything. But I only host one of the shows now. JD hosts two of them. XV hosts one, and Gabe hosts the other. But, you know, I actually like not being the host because I think that I do well enough job hosting RSC. I want to really, like, raise my game as being a contributor to the other shows, so that's where I feel that, you know, I need the most development. So I sort of pulled back the other shows, and I'm trying to be a better, you know, just panel member. So
yeah, see, like, when I've been on the last couple weeks on RFC, my problem is I'm so used to hosting that, because I on ours, I mean, you interviewed Steve and I a couple weeks ago, on ours, I'm pretty much the main voice on almost every show. Steve has his shows, you know, and all that, but, you know, for the most part, a lot of the major ones like Beast Unleashed and Tooncast and all that, I'm pretty much the main voice. So it's like I'm trying to, like, when I'm on RFC the last couple of weeks, I'm like, okay, well, this is their show. So if they say, hey, what do you think about this, I'll chime in. Or if there's a thing where I can throw a joke in, or I can try to throw a joke in, I will try to. I cannot believe nobody got – I cannot believe they almost bitched me out on that Batman Forever reference.
People are critical of the Joel Schumacher stuff.
Yeah, and, you know. but the whole thing was, we were talking about the 3DS, you know.
Yeah.
The 3DS, and the only thing I could think of was 3D TV, was the box where you plump it on your head from Batman Forever.
you don't take it personally. I think
I don't at all.
It wasn't a condemnation of you. It was a condemnation of Joel Schumacher. But going back to being the sole voice of your shows. I mean, I understand that's where I came from, and I enjoyed doing that. But I kind of look at, we have lots of people on our network, and they're on most of the shows. I come from like a management background where I had a team of people that reported to me. I wanted to sort of develop the people that I are on the podcast, so to raise their game and raise my game as a contributor, you know, I decided to, hey, you guys host these shows, I'll pull back. And in doing so, we're all getting better. And I hope, you know, in the next year or two, all our shows are top notch. Where, you know, I mean, I think we're good now, but hopefully we'll be, you know, two or three levels better, you know, going forward. Because, I mean, it's, you know, constant improvement.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, when people were listening and you say you'd miss a show. And they'd call in and pretty much say, where the hell's the show or whatever. See, now what I've done on a couple of our shows is I've done a backlog. So that way I know. I don't mind pre-recording shows because, honestly, we don't get a whole heck of a lot of feedback, which really sucks for us.
Yeah, we don't either.
But it's one of those things where I'd much rather have a backlog of 20 episodes and have that ready and set to go each week, you know, and be so far ahead in the schedule than be 3 weeks behind.
Yeah, and your format really works well with that. Most of our shows, we try to be timely as far as news and such goes. We at least have a news segment because we want to cater. We want to be sort of like a news magazine. We'll, like 60 Minutes, we'll talk about a topic. We'll delve into it. We may revisit it later when, you know, like when a new show comes out, or if we talk about Optimus Prime through history. And the next three shows feature Optimus Prime, we can go back to that topic. But most of our topics, we try to be, you know, sort of sensitive to the time of the day or the zeitgeist or whatever. So yeah. We want to be timely.
And see, that's one of the things when I created ToyCast, the original idea was for one of the hosts over there, General Techno, who had done a review show of Animated Season 3. he had mentioned that, you know, well, you know, why don't we do a Transformers news podcast? And Steve and I had already been friends, and we'd already had All Things Transformers, and I'm like, well, you got TFW. At the time, you had TF Wire. You guys, there's so many Transformers news podcasts out there. I said, why don't we do something different? Why don't we act like a bunch of friends, come on and do audio toy reviews? And that's where ToyCast started. And that is the show that I can record pretty much any time, as long as I can find somebody to record it with.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I like that.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I wish I had a show where I don't currently. I guess throwback if we ever actually did it. But I think that's great. You know that you have something that you can just jump in and do whenever you want to do. I mean it's a great I guess convention for you to have that you can sort of go to whenever you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Do you have any other parting words before we close this out?
Thank you for having me on, and of course the plug. You can visit us at tfradio.net.
Yes. This has been Mike TFG and Blanchard with Brian Kilby from Radio Free Cybertron. We will see you later.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.